Welcome back to the Late Show, everybody. This is our Gilligan's Island reunion, and our first guest, of course, played the title role on Gilligan's Island. Please welcome the skipper's little buddy, Bob Denver. Oh, this is great. How are you? Boy, it's really good to see, watching you stumble up. You had to take a tremendous beating during that series.
I was really lucky. Physically, I never got hurt.
You never got hurt?
No, I came close a few times, but never did.
You got thrown around enough.
I had Alan Hale, for a big cushion.
Oh, I never worried. Now, you did not have a break when you got the show Gilligan. Didn't you go right from, from Dobie Gillis?
To Gilligan?
Right to Gilligan.
Right. And then from there, I went to another show called The Good Guys, which nobody ever heard of.
Well, fortunately, the Gilligan's Island deal just stayed on and on and on.
It must be up there in the top rerunner of all series, I think.
Yeah. Now, was Gilligan a first name or a last name?
Well, on the show, we never said, but I asked Sherwood Schwartz, the writer, and he said if we ever going to use it, it would have been Willie Gilligan.
Willie Gilligan?
Willie Gilligan, yeah.
Please, that's a scoop here now to all of us. How do you think we did with
that? I'm afraid it's kind of spooky, actually. Especially
in Fable. I know, isn't it wonderful? We tried to do it from the original Gilligan's Island set.
Very
But close. That's a parking lot now.
Really?
What happened when the show broke up? I heard there was a story that... what did they do with the set?
I think everybody took it home and put it in their backyard.
Did you take any mementos?
I didn't get any huts. I think a few people took the huts home and... by the swimming pool, looked pretty nice.
Uh-huh,
I think a lot of the props went that way. I don't know where the car went.
Yeah, I don't know either. We were talking a little bit before the show, and so many people watched this program when they came home from school. Did you think it would last that long? Were you surprised that...
Well, I would have made a better deal if I thought it would be rerunning in 1983.
Sure.
But who knew in 1963?
Yeah.
I mean, if you got 2 years of reruns, you figured that was great.
What did the critics think of it? It was a popular success. What did the critics think of
it? The critics panned it pretty heavily. They thought it was inane. They thought it was, silly.
Uh-huh.
All the things it was.
How about scripts? Did you ever look at a script and said, oh, this can't be me?
Oh, no. Sherwood's scripts are always great. I came in the second year, and he had 16 or 17 scripts ready to go for the second year, which meant the special effects department got them, and they could do all the gags and practice them.
That's unheard of, though.
Unheard of, yeah.
Yeah.
The man was amazing.
What about recognizability when you were at your peak?
It hasn't changed. I mean, the kids are still watching it.
Yeah.
My hair's kind of white now, but they say, oh, they probably figured it happened in the island, and I'm going back to get it fixed.
there have been a couple reunion movies. There have been three. Do you think there'll be another one?
I hope so. We have a script. I'm sure it has a script for it.
Really?
I'm hoping that we can do it, either as a network show or maybe as a movie.
It's kind of fun, isn't it, to get back together?
Yeah. The cast is great. They're just fantastic.
Yeah.
You're going to meet him. So
yes, we are. In fact, we have another one.
The
small guy. The guy known as Skipper, and a lot of people don't know what his real name was. We'll find out what that is in just a minute. Alan Hale, Jr. is here. Bob co-star. Isn't this? It looks like you have not changed one day, honestly.
Well, how nice a compliment! I must say, the skipper has become my alter ego.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm one and the same now. The skipper is really I'm for everybody, and I just think it's wonderful to get a reception like that. It's delightful.
Isn't that nice? When you got this script, Alan, and you saw the character, was it one that you fell in love with right away, or could you see yourself playing it?
Well, it was placed so very nicely. Actually, it was rather an amazing story. I was in St. George, Utah, doing a picture with Audie Murphy, and I got this call to come down. Well, we had a small budget picture, and there was kind of a difficulty as to how was I going to get there. There were no planes out of there. There were no rental cars or anything. We went up with studio cars. So I went out on the highway with my thumb. And I hitchhiked out of St. George, got down to Las Vegas, flew from Las Vegas into CBS. And when I got in there, they had had some procedure going on. And Mr. Sherwood Schwartz, our creator, a man who I highly respect, he said, Alan, Really, in many ways, he said, I have written this story for you. Now, he said, if you'd like to be the skipper, you are. But I would like to see you in contrast with some of the people that we're going to use. So I did this test, and it all seemed to work out very well. He had a fine point that he wanted to work out between Gilligan and myself.
Uh-huh.
The fact that, oh, I was always on him. But the fact is,
that's
loved him.
That's number 5,761.
He's taking a lot of beatings on the head for that.
So it was kind of a fine point that he was after, and he saw to it to see in me what he wanted.
Yeah.
In other words, I did what I was supposed to do, but he saw the way he liked it. So I became the skipper.
Now, you're very much like the skipper, actually, in real life. You do love boats. And
yes,
and,
oh, I got to say, my goodness sakes, that's nicely put the way you put that.
We have a clip we want to show.
Oh,
yeah, this is of the two of you. Isn't this of the two of them?
Yep.
Is it all right? The skipper and Gilligan.
Buddy, I see exactly what you're trying to do. Thank you. But we've got to go through with this now. All right, line up. Now, close your eyes.
Sure, Skipper.
Wait a minute. If it's a clean bill, I'll reward you both ears and a tail.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Howe.
Oh, now what?
That's marvelous. That's just marvelous. Now, what are you doing today? I understand there's something to do with travel, isn't it?
Oh, I have, yes, it's so nice of you to mention it. I have Alan Hale's Quality Leisure and Travel now. I'm very pleased for that, and I also have a product that I'm putting on the market called Nulon, which is a wondrous product. It's a Teflon-based product, and like an additive for a car, but we go steps beyond, so we really don't say we're an additive, but we treat a car. In other words, a Nulon treatment is really rather exciting because it delves into a molecular reaction and all that. It dramatically changes the characteristics of an engine.
Yeah, that's
so I'm most pleased about it.
That's something that professionals...
And you'll all be hearing about it very soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Now, you're going to stick around for the rest of the reunion, are you?
I surely will.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to come back with the movie star and Marianne and the professor.
How nice to chat.
So stick around. Never sounded better. Isn't that marvelous? All right, we are here with our Gilligan's Island reunion, folks. And I must tell you, many of you probably had crushes on the movie star, didn't you? Well, here she is today, the lovely Tina Louise. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is
exciting.
That is kind of exciting, isn't it? That's exciting for us because we see you now after these many years.
Mm-hmm.
What did this show do for you?
Well, I had a lot of fun.
Did you have some fun?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And I had made a lot of friends out there.
Because you had your movie career was going, and then this came along, as
mm-hmm.
I understand.
Yeah, I was doing a play.
You were doing a play.
Stayed In with Carol Burnett.
Okay.
And one day I got a telephone call from Ethel Weinert, and she said, "Do you think that you could do sort of a Marilyn Monroe, Lucille Ball character?"
Sure.
And I said, "Yeah." And so I left, stayed out, stayed in,
And that's how it happened. Yeah.
Thought it was going to last for 1 year, and I spent 3 years.
3 years. Yeah. Now, you have gone to other things. You have a new movie that's out now, don't you?
Well, no, I have a film that I completed this summer called The Pool.
When will that be ready for us to see?
Well, you could see a little bit of it tonight.
Okay, well, we do have a clip, don't we? All right, look, do you need to set this up, Tina?
Huh?
See, I called her Tina.
That's my name.
Yeah. I know, but I want to call you Ginger. I feel like I should call you Ginger, like the skipper and Gilligan. So anyway, do you want to set this up for us, or?
Well, I did the film this summer. It's been done by a new director. His name is Luis Ira, and we did it in Boston. It's a very unusual film. It's
Boston, sure.
It's a metaphysical, very suspenseful love story.
Okay, let's take a look.
Get over here! Look into my eyes, and you tell me! You tell me you want out! You tell me you want out!
I want out! I want out!
I want you out of my house.
Fine.
I want to be left alone.
But,
no,
the honest.
I want to have
the honest.
I want to know what I have to say. My
much different than we're used to seeing you.
You don't really see the love story part in that scene.
No, you tell us a love story, but that wasn't a lot of love going back and forth.
No, but it's a story that goes backwards and forwards in time, and there's a young girl who plays my part at 16, and there's a little boy who plays the leading man's part, so it's quite interesting. Mm. I'm very excited about it.
Well, good luck with that. Could you, before we take a break here, could you give us a little bit of Ginger? Do you remember any of the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There was one time that the skipper said to me, Ginger, I've got a problem. I've got a real problem. You're a girl, aren't you? And Ginger said, well, if you don't understand that, skipper, then you really do have a problem.
Thank you, Tina. You know, two more people who are on that ill-fated three-hour cruise are with us. The professor and Marianne. Would you please say hello to Don Wells and Russell Johnson? Welcome. That's very nice. And this is something that Marianne would do. You were the baker of the of
and
the plant.
And it's edible.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Not throwable, is it?
No, it's not. Now you
fireproof. It's good. Yes.
You two were really something. In the first season, you were known as all the rest.
That's right, the rest.
Yeah. And then in the second season, that was the professor and Marianne. How did that happen? How did you finally come to the forefront and get some credit in this?
Well, they realized just how wonderful we really were.
Why was it you were never interested in these women? They would be trying to... Were you so interested in getting them off the island?
I wasn't, Russell.
Well, it was in the script. It's not really the way it was. Yeah. No, if the professor had been interested in any of the women, I think it would have made a whole different... opened up a whole different can of peas. Mm. You had to keep the man asexual. And interested in his Lepidoptera and his flora and fauna and that.
Sure,
kind of
all the scientific stuff.
Sure.
All right, now I'll ask this collectively of the two of you. After you do a show like this, are you typecast? Does it limit you to go on to other things, or was that not a problem? I'll ask you, Don.
Oh, I think so, very definitely.
Really?
My theater training was where I originally began. So when Gilligan's Island went off the air, I went back to the stage. Figuring had I stayed in Los Angeles, I probably would have been playing a character like Marianne for a few years. So I've been basically doing theater for quite a while, and now I'm too old to play Marianne, so it's all right. I rolled the herd over. It's okay.
Do people still recognize you, Russell, from the show?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just an ongoing thing.
Sure.
It's absolutely astounding.
What do they say to you? What do they want to know from you?
Oh, the people ask me, do you remember when you did this or when you did that? Or how did you do so? And I can't remember any of that.
Well, gone. But of course, because they've been a rerun, there are Gilligan's Island fans who have seen this 40 and 50 times.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they memorize things. Well, do you remember what that outfit that you wore in the episode with the lion or something? And of course,
I get stumped on trivia all the time.
Oh, you do?
I don't know the answers. You told me Jonas Brumby today on the television radio show we did today. I'd never heard the skipper's real name.
That's the skipper's real name, was Jonas Brumby. How many of you knew that? See, nobody. Yeah. Yeah, some people didn't know. Well, we're going to take a short break. Are we going to take a short break? All right, because when we come back, the millionaire and his wife are going to join us. So please, stick around. Welcome back to The Late Show. This is our Gilligan's Island reunion, and our next guest... you will know from a couple of careers. If you don't know him as Thurston Howell III, you will know his voice as Mr. Magoo. And with him is the woman who played his wife, Lovey. Please welcome Jim Backus and Natalie Schaefer.
Hello.
come to see, Jim? Isn't this fun?
It is like going back to school.
It is
ridiculous.
Yeah, now, Jim, look at this. Jim has got lipstick all over him. You can't see it.
Oh, he always has.
Oh, did he always? Well, good to see you.
Nice to be here.
Now, what surprised me...
I'm here, but this is ridiculous.
What surprised me most about you, Natalie, is when we were talking backstage, you have a genuine, rich accent.
She sure does.
She does.
Well, I have to have. It's in his book.
It's in his book? Was this a fun deal for you?
I adored it. We had such fun together, and we missed being...
We worked so well together. All those years, we never had one word that was... One crossword, one word was... Nothing. We agreed on everything.
Did you really?
And I learned ad-lib from him.
Yeah, did they do ad-lib much in the series?
Yeah, a lot of that.
Did you really? Just throw the script out
there? The words were so delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah, show was here.
He is.
Yes, we're going to talk with the creator in just a little while. Now, how did you juggle being Mr. Magoo and the series all at one time?
It was very easy. Magoo, I did in about an hour. Just show me the figures of what I was supposed to do, and I'd do it.
Really?
Yeah. And the things that Magoo ad-libbed, and you couldn't hear, were the things that were good. Because a lot of Mr. Magoo is very dirty.
Oh!
I never thought to censor a cartoon, I did. Oh, by George.
Sorry, I missed.
I'm curious how much money the Howells took on this 3-hour cruise, because you were trying to pay off everybody throughout that entire series. They had $100,000 for every cast member once, and $50,000 if Gilligan would carry something for you. And there were some things. These are things a Howell doesn't do.
Howell
never does any work requiring manual labor.
Of course not.
Howell is always first.
Yeah. And always.
First, last, and always. A Howell is a servant to no man.
Oh, God, say it again.
This was just delightful. I'll tell you, that was one of the things that I thought was so wonderful about this television series, is that you really didn't overact. You were... everything that you said really fits your character.
That's really a license to steal.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's what acting is.
Really having fun. I think the critics have made a fool of themselves when they're taking it too seriously.
Well, that's what we were talking about here, where the critics weren't that much in love with it. It just proved year after year to stand up.
I found out that Gregory Peck was a big fan.
Oh, is that right?
He came to me one time. I'd never met him before. And he said, "You're a person now?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "My favorite show. Wouldn't miss it."
Really?
I think he's awfully polite.
I wrote a book during our...
You wrote a book here?
It's called Forgive Us Our Digressions by Jim and Henny Backett. That's my other wife.
And that's your book. So that's your other wife. You know, we have the creator, the man who was behind Gilligan's Island. He's here tonight. I want to introduce you to him. He is the producer and the creator of Gilligan's Island. His name is Sherwood Schwartz. Sherwood, I'll tell you, everybody out here is just—they have glowing reviews about you. They all love you.
Well, they're sensible people.
Well,
he's a Mary Poppins of this, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think of this cast, though?
Well, of course. I learned something about you that will surprise, I think, our home viewers and. Of course, you know, the writer's strike that we have on now has crippled television, for all intents and purposes. You had the scripts ready how far in advance for this show?
Well, we always had at least 6 or 8 final scripts in hand.
Ahead? You were that far? You were that far ahead?
Plus many storylines and synopses.
So would you allow, now we talked with Jim here, he said that he could ad-lib. Did you allow that now and then? Or?
He's very rich. Not very funny. Just
So that was that a part of it? If they had a line that would work with it,
if they had a better line, it was fine with me.
It was fine with you.
Yeah.
You know, I also asked them what episode they remembered most, and every one of the castaways said it was the lion episode. Do you remember that one?
I certainly do.
Would you describe what happened in the lion episode?
We almost lost Bob Denver in that episode.
Lion food, yeah. What happened?
Well, we had a great big real lion who was washed ashore. A lot of things got washed ashore.
Yeah.
And this lion was washed ashore, and Bob was terrified and hid in a hut and packed everything in the hut against the door so the lion couldn't get in.
Sure.
The only problem was the lion was in the bed in the hut. So then when he went to sit on the bed, he reaches back and begins to feel this furry something and takes a look and leaps off the bed. You cannot leap when there's a lion around.
Oh, no, of course not.
They don't like it.
You move quickly.
When
they
move quickly, lions don't like it. And he leaped for Bob. And except for the fact that the bed was not secured, it was movable.
Oh, I see.
And the lion lost his purchase in that move and leaped for Bob and missed by about 2 or 3 feet, or he'd have landed right on him.
Oh, my. An angry lion leaping for Bob.
And I said, Bob, that's right.
Yeah.
I said, Bob, are you okay? He said, yeah, let's do it again. That's exactly what he said.
Well, there's a paycheck hanging in the balance.
Oh, I wouldn't want to think that.
Yeah. Do we have a clip from that? Oh, let's take a look. Here's what you saw, folks.
This is Owl. Stay out there, lion.
I guess through there, you're going to have to find me, right?
Okay. We're going to have more of our Gilligan's Island reunion right after this. Stay with us, folks. Welcome back. We're having our Gilligan's Island reunion, and I'm sure I love these kind of stories of things that happen behind the scenes. Bob, do you remember anything else?
Jim Backus had to work with a big parrot, you know, big live parrot, and he didn't really want to work with it too much, did you?
No.
But all morning he had him on his arm here, and he was feeding him, you know, sunflower seeds.
40 pounds.
Oh,
40
pounds. Oh,
it's
gotten bigger
over there. Near the end of the morning, he didn't have the seeds in his hand, and the parrot, instead of taking his seeds, took his thumb.
Oh.
And I never heard that language in my life.
Oh.
And that parrot went, whoa!
Third parrot gets residual.
I also heard there was a story that you fell out of a tree, Alan.
Yes, that's right. There was a branch that was supposed to kind of break a little and throw me and so forth and so on. Well, it broke a little, but it broke at the wrong time. And so I was 12 feet up in the air, and I fell out of the tree backwards, and, of course, broke my fall of my right wrist, so to speak, and it fractured my wrist, but I finished the season, and then I went to see the Churchill Downs, as would be the Kentucky Derby, and I had this big cast on my arm. And, of course, my dear little lady had to wear a football helmet at night because every time I rolled over, he
had a banger on the head.
So she was doing Gilligan all over again.
You know, I've got some questions. These are trivia questions I'd love to ask some of you, if you don't mind. Now, Sherwood, you probably know the answers to these.
Maybe.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. And how many college degrees did the professor have?
Oh, you're already getting smart.
Yeah, this is a tough question.
Russ.
I haven't the slightest idea.
Do you know?
Yeah, I happen to know.
How many?
Can I tell him?
Sure, you can tell him. What's the answer? He had 6 college degrees. And couldn't build a boat.
One of the degrees is not in boat building.
Right.
None of the degrees.
None of them were in. Okay, let me ask another one. How about the, who was Ginger's roommate in Hollywood? Back in Hollywood. She talked about her roommate a lot. You don't remember? Yes, it was in several episodes. It was.
I don't remember
that at all.
Track of
roommate. Debbie Dawson.
Debbie Dawson.
Yes, you brought up Debbie's name many, many times. All right, we'll go on. How about this one? You may know this one. Who Marianne belonged to a club. What club was that?
Oh, Farmers.
4-H. 4-H.
4-H. 4-H. 4-H. 4-H. 4-H. 4-H. 4-H. 4-H. 4-H. 4-H. 4-H. 4-H. I'll put Bob on the spot. And you had a pet back home. And it was a turtle. Do you remember the turtle's name?
Walter.
No, it was Herman.
Herman.
Herman. Wow, you're 2 for 2. That's very good. Now this one I think is too hard. Unless maybe you know this one. Lovey, what was the perfume that you used? Yeah, that's really tough.
I never used anything but tea rose.
Tea rose. It may have been, but you also used one called gold dust.
Oh, well, of course I had to use that.
That's all. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, I'll ask you another one. This, do you know where you kept your money in which bank, Mr. Howell?
Chase National and Fort Knox.
This is really funny. He kept it in the First, Second, and Third National Bank. I like that one. How many blankets were on board the Minnow? Do you remember, Alan?
Well, we had a blanket policy. We had...
do you remember this?
Yeah, I don't know what. 5 blankets.
Missed by one. Four.
There were 4 blankets, and they did everything with 4 blankets. Not quite everything, but enough for their cabin anyway. I'll tell you, this has been a lot of fun, you guys. This has been a delight for all of us to see all of you back in one arena again. And we thank all of you. Russell Johnson, thank you very much. Don Wells, Sherwin Schwartz, nice to see you. Jim Backus, good to have you here. Natalie Schaefer, Tina, good to see you. Alan Hale, and Gilligan himself, Bob Denver.